Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate this Sunday after the Ascension is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" In the name of Jesus the Christ, who sends the Holy Spirit to equip us to be his witnesses in the world, dear fellow redeemed in his most precious blood. Vaccines are most certainly a hot button topic nowadays. While some people accept and even value the idea of vaccines, others are opposed to it in principle. In fact, some parents refuse to have their children vaccinated for a large number of reasons, ranging from personal preference to believing that vaccines are part of a government conspiracy to control the masses. Vaccines aren't soon to go away either, especially now with the rise of the COVID-19 virus. There's much talk about developing a vaccine to help the human body create antibodies to combat the virus. Some will immediately get in line for their vaccination, while others will stubbornly refuse. In the end, it is a personal choice. Well, believe it or not, there's actually a bigger problem in this world than the coronavirus. It isn't really a virus, but we are all infected by it, and there is a 100% mortality rate from it. It all started with one man and his wife. As a result of their carelessness, it was introduced into this world, and now every human being has been infected with it and will die because of it. There's no question where it all began. It is documented. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So now you know I'm talking about sin and its handmaiden, death. Sin entered this world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and has been passed on from one generation to the next because we are all born in sin. We prove that we are infected when we daily disobey our Creator in countless ways and then try to justify it. Just because we all have it doesn't mean that it's no big deal, even if people act like that's true. The fact is that unless you receive the cure, you will die eternally. Now, they tell us that the vaccine for the COVID-19 virus is perhaps 1 or 2 years away, if it's developed at all. Once it's developed, people will have to decide whether or not to be vaccinated. We don't have to wait for the cure for sin to be developed. God sent his own Son into the human race. He completed the work necessary to deliver us from both sin and from eternal death. The cure required that he suffer and die in our place. He didn't do so to show us the way to defeat sin, but to defeat sin for us. All those who trust in God's declaration and believe in his Son will not die eternally, but will have everlasting life. We all need the vaccine for sin, the inoculation against eternal death. In fact, many of you have already been treated with the cure. The Spirit of God washed away your sins when you were baptized. In the Word of God and through the sacrament of the altar, we obtain regular boosters for our faith in Jesus. We learn from the day of Pentecost that the vaccine for sin isn't received by breath or by fire. It's communicated by mouth, through ears, into hearts. It's received that way, and it's spread that way through the Word of God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, Comforter sent by Jesus, work in us by the Word of truth, so that we know the truth in Christ. Guard and keep our faith in Christ. Fill us with your power so that we delight in living according to the will of God, to the glory of our Heavenly Father. Moreover, help us to be active in spreading the good news of salvation to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. For the last couple of months, we've all been spending a lot of time alone with our own thoughts. Sometimes a little bit of quiet time can be therapeutic, but it can also be difficult when it's extended. The longer this self-imposed quarantine lasts, the more cooped up and crazy we feel. We begin to wonder, how much longer do we have to wait? Jesus' disciples only had to wait 10 days in Jerusalem. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were waiting, and their waiting ended. They must have wondered what exactly it would be like when the Holy Spirit came upon them with power to equip them to be Jesus' witnesses. It all began with a sound from heaven. Now notice carefully exactly what is said here. It doesn't say that there was a wind or even a breeze for that matter. It says that a sound came from heaven, a sound that was like the sound of a rushing violent wind. When I hear that, I can't help but think of the sounds that accompany a violent thunderstorm or a tornado. It sounds like a freight train coming. But this sound wasn't of natural causes. This sound was supernatural. This sound marked the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the evangelist Luke tells us that the sound filled the whole house where the disciples were sitting. I doubt that any of the disciples asked, I wonder if this is what Jesus meant when he said the Holy Spirit would come with power. Who all was there on Pentecost? It's an important question. When we hear the expression, Jesus' disciples, we probably think of the 12 apostles. Don't you mean 11, Pastor? No, actually, in the verses that precede these, we learn that two men were chosen from the greater number of disciples, and a man named Matthias was chosen to take the place of Judas Iscariot. So there were actually, again, 12 apostles. But if we back up about a dozen verses, we find that the number of disciples or brothers at that time was about 120. And that makes us look at these words a little differently, doesn't it? It's quite likely that it was far more than just 12 people filled with the Holy Spirit and equipped to be Jesus' witnesses. It all began with a sound like a violent wind. The sound got everyone's attention and brought people from all over Jerusalem right to the disciples. And after the sound came a sight. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. The second thing that marked the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' disciples was what was called divided tongues, like or as fire, which seemed to rest upon each one of them. It was the second miraculous sign that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. But notice that neither of these things was the solution for sin. Neither the sound nor the tongues of fire served to rescue sinners from eternal death. They were only audible and visible signs that the Holy Spirit had come and that something miraculous was about to happen. Neither the sound nor the fire saved sinners. In a way, it reminds me of what happened to the prophet Elijah, as is recorded in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. When Elijah stood in the mouth of the cave, he witnessed a powerful wind that tore through the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a still, small voice. The Lord was in the small voice. But people are impressed with over-the-top miracles like the sound from heaven and the tongues of fire, which never happened again. People demand impressive miracles to believe that the Holy Spirit is at work. Pentecostal Christians to this very day believe that God is at work among them because they think that they can speak in tongues. But we don't need signs and wonders, for God has given us His Word through which the Holy Spirit works the miraculous, working faith in the hearts of spiritually dead human beings, causing them to be born again. In fact, even the miracle that followed was just the beginning. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' disciples with power. He enabled them to speak in new tongues, in other languages, as Jesus said beforehand He would. The word translated tongues here is that from which we get the word glossary. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit enabled the followers of Jesus to speak in other languages that they had formerly not known. Their speaking in tongues wasn't some heavenly language or babble. It wasn't a special language that required another believer to interpret and understand. They didn't say whatever they wanted to. They spoke the words that the Spirit gave to them. And they glorify Jesus the Savior because that's what the Holy Spirit does. We aren't told in Scripture to expect or ask for signs like the sound from heaven or the tongues of fire. We aren't told to expect or ask to miraculously speak in another language. We are told to speak what the Spirit has already given to us and is recorded in the Word of God. We're to speak the same message that Christ is the Son of God who came to save sinners. We're not to be inventive or come up with our own message, but speak what we have been given by the Holy Spirit. We might come up with some pretty inventive stuff, but it can't save sinners. How do we know that they spoke in other known languages? Well, because people visiting and living in Jerusalem from all over the ancient world heard them speak and understood them to speak in their own mother tongues or languages. Here Jesus sent them into the world to speak the gospel. And on Pentecost, he brought the world to them. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." People today, to one degree or another, are concerned about contracting the coronavirus. There may well be good reason to take care. We're asked not to congregate in groups because one infected person could easily transmit the virus to another and to another and to another. We keep our distance. We wash our hands. We wear masks. We don't want to catch or spread the virus. So what if the only way to save people was to get up close and personal and talk to them? Well, if that were the case, you can believe that there would be no social distancing. We'd be organizing meetings all over the world. Come, listen, and be saved. On Pentecost, it was the message that served as the vaccine for the virus of sin. In fact, nothing has changed today. For it is written, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The vaccine for sin is communicated to us by word of mouth. It was then, and it still is now. Think of it. If we would only be about the Lord's work, speaking of Jesus to others, not worrying about whether they'd heard it or not, or what they think about us, or what might happen. If we would just pick one person today and say, "I'm going to talk to that person about Jesus today." And then the next day say, "I'm going to talk to another person about Jesus." If we were as zealous for Christ as we are to avoid the coronavirus, then perhaps we wouldn't ever have to worry about the shrinking size of our congregation. It's the message of Christ that saves from the virus of sin, then and now. If we would only look for opportunity, take it. Think how many people could be saved from eternal death. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Well, we can say that the sound and the tongues of fire paved the way. The miracle of speaking in tongues blew people's minds on Pentecost. They wanted to hear more about these wonderful works of God. They wondered what this was all about. They were looking for answers. And on Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood up and he gave them the vaccine for sin. So today things happen that cause people to ask questions and to seek answers. Death stops people in their tracks. Health concerns cause people to question and look at their own mortality. People may see our hope in times like these and ask questions, because people are still looking for answers. They may not always know the right questions to ask, but you know the answer. Be ready to give them the vaccine, to give them Jesus. Now remember, the vaccine for sin is not communicated by breath, by wind, by fire, but by word of mouth. So take off your self-imposed mask. Open your mouth. Speak of Christ. and watch what amazing things the Holy Spirit does. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.